Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have a very, I don't even know how to say it, a guest that just kind of broke my heart with her story. And we're going to go with the name Christine. We're actually not even going to give a last name today. I think so many of you are going to be able to relate to her story. And it's a story of learning your whole life that it was necessary to abandon your own needs and abandon your own true nature in order to survive, in order to be loved, in order to fit in and please the people that had authority over you. And that many of us have learned that this self-abandonment is normal. We also have learned that we can be a chameleon. To the point where we're trying to be what everyone else wants us to be, and we don't even know who we are. And in this story with Christine, you'll hear that she was 47 years old before she stepped on the yoga mat. And it was stepping on the yoga mat that changed her life over the last decade in ways so dramatic, where she now does not abandon herself. And she does know herself so deeply, and she's willing to be honest about who she is, not only to others, but deeply, deeply rooted in that self-connection and knowing herself to the point where she's able to have a lot of clarity and make her decisions and impact all the future generations of those who come after her in her familial line. So let's go get to know Christine. I think you're really going to enjoy this story, and it is a deep one. And it is about shifting family patterns, both the generations that have come before her, the generations that will come after her, but most poignantly, shifting the pattern of her life with the people in it right here, right now. And demanding honesty and demanding authenticity of those people, whatever the consequences. So let's get started and let's go meet Christine.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. This is Amy Wheeler. We're in the second half of 2025, and we've spent this entire year telling stories of health, healing, and beyond with yoga therapy, yoga, and Ayurveda. I hope you'll join us for the second half of the year where we hear people who are courageous and generous and authentic and kind telling about their life experience so that they can help others out there who might be going through something similar. Let's get into season 9 and hear more stories about people just like you. All right, on to the show. Welcome, Christine. Thank you for being here on the Yoga Therapy Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Christine, where are you joining us from in the world?
I am in Woodburn, Oregon, about halfway between Portland, Oregon, and Salem, which is the capital here. It's a wonderful location. I'm about an hour and a half away from the coast and about an hour and a half away from the mountains.
Wow, I love Oregon. A lot of my family lives in Oregon, so I go there often.
Oh,
I have to say,
wonderful.
if I didn't live in Minnesota, I think I'd live in Oregon.
Oh, Minnesota, the home of Prince. Oh,
Oh yeah, I'm right there.
I'm
There's been a lot.
even wearing purple today.
You are. There's been a lot of amazing musicians from Minnesota that people, you don't think about it. I think Bob Dylan is from here. There's a
Wow.
lot of it, there's an energy here of that. So,
Lovely.
all right, Christine. Well, I am just so grateful that you're willing to share yourself and your story with us today. I don't even know your story, but just from the tiny bit I read and what you wrote me, I feel emotional already. Like, ooh. So I don't even know where to begin. What do you want us to know about you in terms of who you are, what you love, what you're passionate about? I think before we jump into the story, what should we know about Christine?
Well, right now, my life is all about my granddaughters. I have a 37-year-old son and an almost 30-year-old daughter, both of whom had many pets. And I thought I was just going to be the grandmother to a lot of dogs and cats and ferrets and rabbits and all kinds of things. But they both surprised me in 2023, and 5 weeks apart, they had two baby girls. So my son lives in Maryland, and my daughter lives about an hour away from me here, and I get to see her several times a month and babysit with my granddaughter. So my yoga teacher, my yoga therapy mentor, actually mentioned to me when I was expecting these two granddaughters how healing that granddaughters can be for us, and that has certainly been my experience. So I'm all about showing up for them and being for them. What I've learned in just these past almost 10 years is so important for attachment and authenticity and bringing up children in an atmosphere of acceptance and openness to see where they go and who they become on their own without so much guidance from the parents.
I just feel so strongly when I hear you say these words. And I'm just imagining these generational gifts. Many of us talk about the generational trauma that's passed down, and I'm sure there's some of that too. But the generational gifts of a grandmother willing to invest her time and energy and love and wisdom into these new baby girls. Oh, such a beautiful thought.
Yeah, it's a privilege. It truly is to be part of their lives. And I've had to do a lot of mending relationships with my kids because I was a very rigid mother. You know, I did things a certain way. I did things the way my mother did them. We always had chores on this day, and these were the standards. And I was more accepting, I think, than my mother was because it was so hard on me growing up. I grew up in a culture, my parents were self-employed, and I worked in their business literally from the time I was 4 years old. I had to be very grown up. And I wasn't really allowed to be much of a kid. And my mom was very much, you know, you can't be too thin or too rich. Very Republican, atheist, just a completely different lifestyle than what I enjoy now as a yogi. So I've done a lot of mending relationships with my kids. And have tried to mend relationships with other extended family with mixed results.
Oh, family is such a hard thing right now. I'm just talking to so many people that these family relationships are fraying based on religious tolerance, LGBTQ support or not support, politics, the state of the world, the different wars. Like, I just feel like it's ticking time bombs with our families. It's really hard right now.
It is. I keep thinking if only everybody would just start practicing yoga, that our world would be so much different because it certainly changed me. It changed my life.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about that because I've really been reflecting on that. You know, I see a lot of posts from people who mean well, but they're kind of like almost shaming different people in the yoga community for not acting, saying, behaving the way they think we should all behave. And I'm really kind of reflecting on how each one of us comes home to self and figures out what our gifts are and what our life purpose is, and then offers ourselves to the community, to the world, in a way that we can be of service. And it's going to look so different for each of us. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's what I meant when I said I wanted to be a helper, a catalyst, even in my own granddaughters' lives, for them to be who they authentically are because they are radically different, only 5 weeks apart, but completely different little personalities. And I think that if we all were able to be in touch with who we authentically are, that would be the creation of an incredible culture that we would all be living in. We don't want yoga robots, as they say. I encourage people when I teach classes. In fact, I was actually inspired by one of your podcasts. Oh, I can't remember the gentleman's name that you were talking with, but he mentioned how he has people do kind of a free flow, take a minute and
Jeffrey.
just, yes,
Jeffrey
Jeffrey.
Schof, yes.
Jeffrey, yes. When I taught my class last night, I used that maybe three or four times during the practice to just listen to your body and give yourself what you need. I don't want you to give you what I need. That's what I feel on the mat. I want you to really feel in your body and feel grateful for and the strength that that embodies while you're there on the mat. So I agree wholeheartedly.
So much about giving the student their own self-empowerment.
Yes.
And I also want to thank you for saying that about Jeffrey, because sometimes I think, do these podcasts even matter? But when I hear that you listen to Jeffrey's wisdom and then you shared that with your students and then they benefited from having more autonomy and self-empowerment, like, yes, it matters. We're doing something here. So thank
Yes,
you.
it matters. It matters.
So, Christine, when did you discover yoga? What brought you to yoga?
Well, I had practiced a little bit of yoga here and there in a gym atmosphere. Like I said, I was raised in a family where you couldn't be too thin, and I am rather short, stocky build. I remember being shamed for my weight much of the time. So I was always on some kind of diet. As a teenager, wanted to have an eating disorder, and I wasn't able to pull it off. I wanted to be anorexic, but I wanted to eat. I wanted to be bulimic, but I couldn't make myself throw up. So I would just exercise to the point of such soreness that I went to yoga just to relieve the soreness. And then in 2016, I was working for a newspaper. And I don't know how aware you are of the newspaper industry, but with the advent of the internet and all the free information that we have out there, I was in a position, a confidential position, as the executive assistant to the president and the senior HR partner. And so I was on these emails where they were whittling away the staff. And I wasn't allowed to say anything to anybody. It like, you're gonna get laid off. You should be looking for a job. I couldn't say anything. And I started just having such horrible physical symptoms. I had insomnia to the point where I just would lay my head down and never go to sleep at night. And I had sciatica. I was trying to do several jobs, wear many hats. As they whittled the staff down, they kept putting more on me. So I was doing some facilities work and I hurt my back and I hurt my elbow. I started breaking out in hives, which was something that I did as a kid when I was working in the office. And then I started having this idiopathic facial swelling where my face would just swell up out of nowhere. And I use the term idiopathic because that's what the doctors told me. We don't know why that's happening. And I ended up finally deciding that I had to leave that job. And I had a job interview with the state of Oregon, and that was the first interview. And I just realized whether I got that job or not, that I had to leave that newspaper job. And luckily, the state called me back, and I went in for the second interview and got that job. So once I got that job, I got really great health insurance, which is when I got the idiopathic diagnosis. I got on some anti-anxiety medication and some antihistamines. So I was on five or six different meds. And down in the basement, a lady was teaching yoga twice a week. And one of my coworkers said, "Hey, come and do yoga with me." And you had to pay for 12 weeks in advance. It was Tuesday and Thursday on the lunch hour, so I paid for it. And I remember thinking, maybe the second or third week, I'm not signing up for another 12 weeks of this. It's taking up way too much of my time. I have way too much to do. All I could think about was what was on my desk. But I'm kind of a cheap person inherently. So I was going to finish the 12 weeks I already paid
for. Get that value. You paid
for it. Yeah, exactly. And somewhere along the road, maybe a month or two in, I was on the mat and I suddenly realized that I was fully present in my body. I wasn't thinking about what I was going to eat for dinner. I wasn't ruminating on a conversation I had had with my mom. I wasn't worried about what was waiting for me on my desk. And I was happily in my body for the first time in my whole entire life. I felt fully present, fully engaged, fully grateful for my breath and what my body was able to do and how much better my body was feeling. That in that moment, I thought, oh, I wish I would have had this when I was 14 years old. And I knew I wanted to teach yoga. I decided then, I'm not only signing up for another 12 weeks of this, but I'm going to figure out how to be a yoga teacher because this is just too powerful. And I envisioned myself teaching to teenage girls because that was when I really felt like I could have benefited quite a lot from it. So that sort of was the catalyst, and that was in 2016.
That moment of feeling completely embodied and feeling like it's going to be okay. And I love the subtleness of my own breath. Like, it's so hard to describe to people that have never done yoga because until you have that experience, it just sounds kind of woo-woo. It's like, oh, okay. Like people rolling their eyes like, oh, here she goes again. But when you have that precious, sacred moment that you realize, wow, I did a practice that got me in this state. There was no drug. There was no external machine. I was able to get myself into this state of being. It's so powerful. Because then you realize, I could do that again tomorrow.
Yes.
And I could teach other people how to get into this state of being. This is incredible.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. It was magical. It really, truly was magical. I don't think I had ever intentionally breathed before. I was 47 years old, and I don't think I had ever taken an intentional breath until then.
Incredible. Okay, yeah. So 2019, you were about to say.
So I continued practicing with that teacher. She was an Iyengar teacher. You know, we used a lot of supports. It was very rigid, the practice. I would find myself kind of anticipating what she was going to do and moving ahead. And she would say, "Don't anticipate me. We're all doing this together." So it was very rigid, but very aligned and safe and just what my body needed. And I was one of those eye rollers, Amy. I really, truly was.
You would have rolled your eyes at me. Is that what you're telling me?
I would have rolled. Yeah, I was an eye roller. When people started talking about chakras and crystals and fasting, oh my gosh, I would just, no, that's not for me. I was very much in the take what works for you and leave the rest behind camp. Mm-hmm. And I thought when I got on the yoga mat, when I was a teacher, that I would teach to people like that, that I wouldn't bring in all this woo woo hippy dippy stuff. Well, then.
Over your right shoulder resides a yin and yang symbol.
Yes.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yes, yes, yeah. Here I am, all surrounded by crystals and bowls. And
are there some crystals on the windowsill over there?
Yep. I've got it all. I'm totally in.
There's a gong somewhere.
Yes, there's a gong right over there.
I love this for you. Please take a moment with me to go and listen to something a little different. and then we'll get right back to the guest. Many times as yoga teachers, yoga therapists, or even moms, dads, grandparents, we wonder what's happening with our loved one in between the times we're seeing them, whether your child went off to college or whether you're a yoga therapist who only sees your client once a month. You might wonder, how are they doing? Well, here at The Optimal State, we have developed a mobile app where people can track how they're feeling mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually at different times of day, seasons of the year. And basically, you can see the data. You can see how your 6 to 10 a.m. slot in your day looks and how you usually feel at that time versus your 2 to 6 p.m. You know, how do you feel at that time of the day? And you can see the patterns. You can set a week, a month, a season, and get the aggregate data so you can see what your pattern is. Where do you tend to go out of balance? And the cool thing is you can just take a screenshot of that summary and send it off to your yoga teacher, your yoga therapist, your parent, your child. It's a really great way to check in. And I think especially for maybe kids that don't want to call their parents all the time from school, they could just show their parent the data like, okay, I'm doing all right. Here, look at my data for the last 2 weeks. Screenshot. Boom, it's yours. Now you can settle down and stop calling me. It could be that, or it could be that your child is not doing well, but they don't know how to say that to you, or maybe your client. And so your client could take a screenshot of their data from the last week and send it to you as they come into the session so you kind of have an idea of what's going on with them. So there's many ways to use it. And in addition, there are wonderful interventions that help people to come into balance. So I hope you'll consider checking out on the App Store. It's called Optimal State App. You just type that in, Optimal State App, and check it out. It's free for the first few weeks, so you have nothing to lose from trying it out and checking out how to track, how to get your aggregate data, how to send that off, and then hopefully how to get some interventions. All right, now let's go back to our guest.
Yeah. It changed my life. It really did. When I started my 200-hour training in fall of 2019, and we had a chakra practice where it was a meditation where she kind of went from the bottom up, and we were supposed to journal about our experience after. And so I'm doing the root chakra movement and the sacral chakra and all the way up, and we get to the throat chakra, and I just had this huge lump in my throat. I could hardly breathe. The tears just started coming, and I had no idea why. And once I started to journal, it came to me. I was born in 1968 to a mom who was not married. In that day and age, that was not very acceptable, and it certainly wasn't acceptable to her parents. And they wanted her to have an abortion, and she refused and ended up having me at a home for unwed mothers in San Francisco, California. Wow. And I had no idea about that. My mom met the man who ended up adopting me when I was 2, and they had a daughter together. And for some reason, his mother, my grandmother, step-grandmother, adopted grandmother, really felt that my parents should tell me that he was not my real father. And so when I was 7 years old, my mom sat me down and told me that he wasn't my real dad, that my real dad had another son and daughter, that he lived across the country, and that he didn't want any part of me. And I cried, and my mom got very upset, which at the time I couldn't understand, but now I realize it was probably a lot of shame that was triggered for her. But she got angry at me for being upset. And I remember my dad, after that day, he never mentioned it. We never talked about it again in our house. I was told I wasn't allowed to tell my little sister about it. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody about it. It was this big secret. And when I did that throat chakra practice, that all came up, that I was my mother's shameful secret. And even to this day, even then and to this day, we don't talk about it. Well, I have talked about it, which is another story. looking back, a lot of my life, a lot of my mom's beliefs around spending money and things, she'd buy something and say, "Don't tell your dad I spent this money." We had this secret around my birth. There was a lot of lies and secrets. And even for me, if I made a mistake at work, I would try to figure out a way of making it not such a big deal, moving the words around. I had one job that I worked at where if a mistake was made, they would have me call the customer because they would call me the silver tongue because I could make it sound like it wasn't really a mistake. It was not our fault. And that was a huge part of my recovery, is just being truthful with myself, sharing my truth, owning my own mistakes. It was really important to me to open up that part of my life, and it didn't go down super well with my grandparents or my parents. And actually, to this day, my mom and dad don't talk to me because I do want to be honest about my life. But my
I'm
relationships with my
sorry.
children are wonderful and truthful and open, and I hope that I am creating a safe space so that they don't feel like they have to hide who they really are or be afraid to make mistakes. And like I said, same thing with my granddaughters. I don't want them to feel like it's a shameful thing to make a mistake. I want them to be able to feel safe enough to share not just their authentic self, but also when they need help and when they maybe don't understand what's going on or want to hide whatever they might have done, and know that there will be a safe person to talk to about those things. So anyway, that the finishing of the 200 hour happened during the pandemic, so I had to do all that online. And as I progressed in my 200 hour and I finished that, I just felt like even if I never taught a yoga class, that it had been completely worth it to get my yoga teacher training. The money, the time, just the awareness. We had some trauma-informed modules, which really opened me up. I mean, I had no clue about childhood trauma or what the secrets and shame and all of that would have done to me until I continued on in my learnings. And I ended up getting my 300 hour online, and then decided when I heard that yoga therapy was even a thing that I wanted to continue down that path. So
Wow.
I ended up taking a course through the Daya Foundation here in Portland, Oregon.
Wonderful. Wow. Let's just take this in for a moment. You took some yoga classes over the lunch hour at a government building in the basement,
Yes.
which led to your understanding that this is something you want to share. You take a yoga teacher training and realize you've been silenced your whole life.
That gives me chills,
I
yeah.
know, I just want to say this out loud. You've been silenced. And then when you try to be honest and say, I want to live an honest life, then you get abandoned or
Yes.
rejected. I mean, this is painful, Christine.
Yes, but it was less painful than the realization that I had been self-abandoning my whole life. I never knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. I worked in my parents' office, and so I learned some skills, and those translated into lots of different industries. But I never had any kind of passion for anything. I love to make art, I love to paint and draw, but that wasn't really encouraged, and I didn't pursue that at all because my parents were self-employed and neither one of them had finished college. Higher education wasn't encouraged. It was just expected that I would continue to work in that business. So I never really knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. I just was always adapting. I remember thinking every time I changed schools, every time I changed jobs, oh, maybe this time I could fit in. Maybe this time I will feel at home and comfortable. But I never felt like that because I never was authentic. I didn't even know who I was as an authentic person because I had been trying to be this chameleon, tying myself into pretzels to be what I thought the people around me wanted me to be.
And let's just repeat that you took your first yoga class around 47 years old. So, wow. Oof. So, when you go through a transformation like this and decide that you're going to admit the truth to yourself, because that's first step, being honest with yourself, then you're going to require that your relationships be more honest. At least, here's my perspective. I'm sure you have a perspective. Let's talk about it. You have lost a relationship with family. Were there other friends or spouses or anyone else that you ended up having to renegotiate relationships with?
Yes, friends. Yes. I have some friends that I've had for 25, 30 years that still won't practice yoga with me, but are getting close. They
Are they
see.
rolling their eyes at you?
One of them rolls her eyes at me. The other one, who I've actually known since my son was 6 months old, I had lunch with yesterday, and she's got a knee issue. And I said, you know what would help with that? And she says, you're gonna talk me into it sooner or later. I just know it. So it's coming. It's coming. So those relationships have gotten so much deeper. And I have shared so much of my childhood, and they have shared much of their childhood. Those relationships have gotten so much richer and more authentic. I just am so pleased with that. Like I said, I had tried an eating disorder to keep my weight down, but I tried everything. I did drugs, I drank, I smoked, all of it. I tried all of it. And even when I first started yoga, I was still smoking cigarettes and I was still drinking quite a lot. I had actually had one job before the newspaper working at a winery here in the Willamette Valley and got very much into, the wine tasting, and it was real fancy and all of this stuff, but it was just basically waiting until I could get home and pour that first glass of wine. At that point in my life that I met my husband, who I married in 2012, we had met 7 years previously, maybe, and had been together for 4 years when we got married. And he worked at the winery as well. We both drank and used tobacco very heavily. We got married in 2012, and then I got my job at the state in 2016, 2017. I was doing yoga. And that whole first year, 2017 to 2018, while I was still smoking and drinking, I was also breathing and moving. And I was coming to the realization that I wanted to quit drinking. And I wanted to quit smoking, but I was really honestly afraid to quit drinking because I was afraid of how it was going to impact my marriage. I didn't know that I could quit drinking if he didn't quit drinking. And I wasn't even willing to talk about it. And finally, at one point, I did start talking about wanting to quit drinking and smoking. And at the same time, he started being very intimidating. He didn't beat me up per se. I'm 5 foot almost two. He's 6 foot 4. So he would use his body to block me from accessing parts of the house. He locked me out of the house. One day I just got extremely afraid. In the middle of the night when I wasn't sleeping and he was asleep, I went online and I filed the papers for a divorce and a restraining order. I packed my stuff and I went into a hotel. And through my mom, asked what he would need to do for us to be able to get back together again. And I said, quit drinking and go to couples counseling with me, which he did. We went to counseling together for a couple of months, but then he got a new job and he wasn't able to attend. So I continued therapy along with my yoga. I thought we had a good marriage. I thought we did. I thought he was willing to quit drinking for me. We did quit drinking together. I did quit smoking. He still uses tobacco, but I thought it was good enough, that he was willing to do that. So we ended up continuing on with our marriage. And the more I did yoga, the more I did my yoga therapy. I started that certification in 2022. And yeah, I listened to your podcast with Tamala Floyd about IFS, internal family systems. And one of our modules in my yoga therapy training was all about internal family systems. And I realized that I had exiled that younger part of me that felt fat and rejected and abandoned. And she was mad at me that I didn't stand up for her. And so, me as my capital S self had to tell her I didn't have those skills back then, but I do now. And I have your back now. And then in 2023, I graduated my yoga therapy. My granddaughters were born, and I became all about that. And as I was going in this direction, my husband was getting more and more involved in online stuff. He's a tech guy, he's an IT guy, which has been very helpful for setting up my yoga stuff and streaming and Zooming and all of that stuff. But he was getting deeper and deeper into gaming and very cagey about his passwords and sharing his phone. And for the past year or two, I knew that we were drifting apart, and I asked him to go back to couples therapy again, and he refused because he said he was happy with the way life was. And I said, "Well, I'm lonely. You never want to go do things with me. You don't want to come do yoga with me. You don't want to go back east with me when I visit my granddaughter and my son." And he felt like, he kind of talked me into, "Well, you have your interests, I have mine. But I still love you, and that's all I'm going to say about it, And he was basically breadcrumbing me. And one day, same thing happened as happened when we split up the first time. He started getting very intimidating and scary because I do operate a computer and I have since I was 15 years old. I know 10 key by touch, and I had happened to notice his PIN number one time when he logged into his computer several months before this. And I had been in counseling and I told my counselor, I saw his PIN number, but I don't want to use it. I want to trust him. The whole reason I was in counseling at that point was because I knew I could not change or control him. And I wanted to learn how to be okay with that in myself. So I told her I knew the PIN number, but I didn't use it for several months. And then when he started getting scary and intimidating again, I thought, I gotta know. I just have to know. So I logged onto his computer and I found out that he was having online relationships with at least five other women, some of whom were sending him gifts, some of whom he was sending gifts. He was using terminology that I had used from my counseling sessions to be the husband I wanted him to be with these other women online. And that was when I filed for divorce. And I had even been having a meditation with myself that all I wanted was for my husband and I to have an authentic relationship. And that is what we ended up having, but not in the way that I would have wanted.
I'm just sitting here. My stomach is in knots.
The
I
thing
feel
about it
sick.
is, and this has been going on for at least 4 years, Amy, that I could see from the history. But I felt like literally the day before I found out, the day before he started getting intimidating and violent again, I was like on top of the world. I felt like, all right, I am in full acceptance of the relationship I have. I love teaching my yoga classes. I love my granddaughters. I have great relationships with my kids. This is enough for me. And I feel like that was when the universe said, "You're ready to know the truth."
Yeah, it gives us what we can handle when we can handle it. And you had enough other areas of resilience and strength and support. I'm really sorry, Christine. I know probably many people listening have a little feeling inside of them that something's off or that they wish they knew that password just to soothe themselves, whether it's off or not. Let's just figure it out. Oh, I mean, on one hand, it has to feel good to know that you listened to your deeper self, that you protected yourself, that you did not abandon yourself.
Yes.
That, as you said from the ISF training, internal family systems training, that you protected that little girl who was so angry. And, you know, you had told her, yeah, but I didn't have the skills to do this for you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And now you did.
That was very affirming for me, really, because suddenly I knew all of this time I can trust my intuition. I can trust myself. Like I said, I was trying to twist myself into a pretzel, trying to be what I thought everyone else wanted me to be. And I abandoned myself in those efforts over and over and over again. But looking back, it's like just a verification that I could have trusted my intuition all of that time. I could have, and now I do. So it was a painful but powerful lesson. And I'm still in the midst of the divorce. We're separated now. Nothing's final, but we have a settlement date. And I'm really optimistic about where this next phase of my life is going to take me.
I think when we have the courage to just be honest and authentic and say what's true and real, it does open up a space that previously was held with that dark shroud of lies or secrecy, or, you know, a new world opens up when we're willing to have the courage to face what is. And it's so counterintuitive because it feels like you're going to die. It feels like life might be over. It feels like you're giving up everything you ever loved or knew. And it's actually the opposite. It's oftentimes a rebirth.
It is. I feel like the whole first half, if I'm lucky, maybe first two thirds of my life have all been in preparation for this part of my life.
Wow. Ugh, I don't know why this one's hitting me so hard. I have so much empathy and yet so much hope at the same time and so much admiration for you to be so honest with yourself and find the truth in the way that you needed to.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
And do you feel like yoga, as it helped you to feel your own breath and to be with yourself, and to finally trust yourself and learn not to abandon yourself. Do you feel like that's kind of the cause of why you had the courage to step into all the difficulties you needed to face?
Absolutely. Yoga saved my life. I don't know where I would be right now if I hadn't had yoga, if I'd have continued drinking as heavily as I was and smoking and all of the poor habits that I had, not only found physical healing and new ease in my body, but I'm off all of the medication that I got on at that point in my life when I first started working for the state. So I don't need the antihistamines or the anti-anxiety medication. I have had some difficult nights of sleep since I found all of this stuff out, but I'm starting to sleep better again. My digestion is better than it was. My trauma comes out in the bathroom a lot of times. And so that's all been resolved. And I don't even want to know what my life would look like now if I didn't have yoga. I wouldn't have the relationships with my children that I do now. I wouldn't have probably the access to my granddaughters that I do now. I wouldn't have the depth of friendships that I do now. I wouldn't have the new friends that I have now. And I love my life that I have now. And I didn't even know whose life I was living back then. It was some conglomeration of expectations and toxic culture. Gabor Mate was another one of the modules that we studied in my yoga therapy training, and his book, The Myth of Normal, just hit me so hard that his example that if you put specimens in a petri dish and they all start dying and killing each other, then you know that the culture is toxic. And here we are living in a toxic culture right now. We can see the evidence of it all around us because people aren't living their authentic lives. They aren't healthily attached to themselves. They aren't honest with themselves. They're afraid and they're ashamed. And I want to just bring any kind of relief to those people that I'm able. And I do kind of see myself as a bit of a bridge between the culture I grew up in, this Western atheist, Republican, capitalist culture that I was brought up in, to now this Eastern, meditative, slow, thoughtful, authentic, truthful, non-attaching, just spiritual life that I have now. And so I often will bring that up in my classes. You know, I would have rolled my eyes at this, but let's play with the heart chakra a little bit. And
We talked about this.
I would have.
The title of this has to become the eye rolling episode. Oh, goodness. Wow. Well, you've been on a journey. You've been on a journey. It's 2025. The journey started what year?
2016, actually. I started working for the state in October of 2016. And
Almost 10 years. And
almost 10
I don't
years.
say this as an advertisement, but yoga will change your life. I mean,
Yes. There was somebody had said to me once, if you practice yoga twice a week, you'll change your body. If you practice 3 or 4 times a week, you'll change your mind. If you practice every day, you'll change your life. And I am walking, living, breathing evidence of that.
Well, Christine, I want to thank you for being so honest and not silencing yourself and sharing this story with us. I just know how many of our listeners are going to be deeply touched by what you've had the courage to share today.
Well, thank you. That is why I wanted to share it, because there was a part of me for a while there. I was very envious of people who had had yoga and spirituality their whole lives. I felt like they had kind of an advantage over the rest of us schlubs. But like I said, I am living the life that I always wanted to live. I finally know what I want to do when I grow up, and it surely does involve yoga. Yeah, and it involves helping other people to be there. I actually have recently gotten approved to volunteer to teach yoga in the prisons here in Oregon. So I'm very excited about that. I also work with an organization in Oregon called Breast Friends, which is in Tigard, Oregon. They are a beautiful group of women that support for women in any area of breast cancer diagnosis, whether they are recently diagnosed or 10 years in remission. So I teach yoga to them, and luckily I am not a member of their club, but they are always very kind and gentle with me. And I feel like just giving them permission to slow down and breathe is so important. And recently, my yoga teacher through the Daya Foundation, the Institute of Living Yoga, where I got my yoga therapy certification, launched a new program that they're starting here in Portland, a recovery house for people who are recovering from alcoholism and drug abuse, a home where they will have a mental health counselor as well as yoga, art therapy, and a whole Ayurvedic way of living and treating themselves. So I encourage anybody who's interested to look into those organizations because they're all really powerful, and whatever organization they might have in their own area that's doing work like that.
And I hope one day you'll get to teach those young 14-year-old women. Like I put that little seed in the ground with you to the universe,
Thank you. Actually, I tried. I tried and tried. I had some friends that worked for the school district, but I kept getting steered towards this volunteering to teach in the prisons. And so I actually tried to start that at the beginning of COVID, and obviously it impacted the timing of that. So hopefully we'll get in there this year.
All right. I love that because these are also the women who didn't get nourished at age 14.
Exactly. I always think there but for the grace of God go I, because I made a lot of stupid mistakes. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I don't know if I enjoyed being here today. I enjoyed getting to know you. My stomach still hurts for you, but I'm grateful. I'm really grateful.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I enjoyed it. I feel like every
Good.
time I share my story, it has less power over me. And so I really appreciate your taking the time to listen and your empathy and your warmth very much. And I really appreciate all the good work that you're doing.
Thank you, Christine.
Woo, these stories, this season 8 are remarkable. And, I talked to Christine a little bit after we finished recording and said, "Are you sure that you want to put this out there? Are you comfortable with this? Once it's out there, we can't take it back." And she said, "Absolutely. I'm 100% committed to the honesty in my life. And I want my story to help other people to be more honest and to be courageous and to do what you need to do to not abandon yourself anymore." So this story is Christine's gift to all of us that started very early on feeling like it wasn't okay to tell the truth and that we had to hide it and be secretive. And one of the things I said to her that I want to share with you all is that oftentimes when we're making really big life decisions that require this kind of honesty, we think it's the death of us. It feels like we're dying. It feels like we're losing everything that we've ever built for ourselves. All of our hopes and dreams are gone. That the future we imagined is gone, and it feels like death. But really, it's birth. It's the birth of a new life that's more honest, and the relationships are more deep, and you're going to meet more people that you don't even know are out there. So, thinking of it as a rebirth is so much less painful than thinking of it as a death, even though they're probably one in the same. If you want to get in touch with Christine, you can reach her at www.integratedyogatherapy.com. And we have no idea how she got that domain name because it's amazing. Integratedyogatherapy.com. And she said, "You know what, Amy? I feel integrated." So I'm going to leave you on that note. All right, everybody, have a great day and thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We appreciate you as our listeners because without you, there would be no Yoga Therapy Hour. It's your comments, your calls, your emails, your texts of support and well wishes and affirmations that keeps us going. So don't feel hesitant to give us a review if you've been enjoying the podcast. Go wherever it is that you listen, find the review section, and let people know how much you love the Yoga Therapy Hour. It's a small thing that you could do for us that would help spread the word of goodness, benevolence, and help us help all the people out there to suffer less. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.